sunshine, little Uber, liver, liver, lead us.
Good evening. Welcome to As the Worm Turns, KVNF's gardening show. I am your host, Jill, and I have worms in the studio. Hi, Lulu. Hi, Lance.
Hi.
Hi, everybody.
Good evening. And, of course, our magic worm in the control room there to take your calls because this is a call-in show. We love questions, don't we?
Oh, yeah, we love it.
Right. That's what we're here for.
Right.
We thrive.
So, yeah, so don't wait.
527-4868 or 1-866-KVNF now. And I'm digging the sunshine. What about you?
Yeah, nice and hot.
Nice and hot.
Yeah, the squash have taken over.
Have they?
About a 20-foot swath.
Ooh, yeah. Hello.
I just let them. I don't have to mow that section now.
Yeah, right.
I love that. You know, I just planted my squash, you know, just a little bit ago, and they're kicking it.
Kicking booty?
Yeah, they're kicking it. Yep.
Isn't this kind of the time period where some plants can just, like, go through that whole burst of growth like a squash? Like some of the other female plants out there, people are growing.
Yeah.
Squash, beans, tomatoes.
Right.
Oh my gosh. My tomatoes. Unbelievable.
Yeah. And I want to invite, there's a couple people I know that want to ask a tomato question. So give us a ring.
Tomato. Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's it, too, because they're doing their thing huge.
They are doing their thing. And this is my first year for growing some heirloom plants with the different colored tomatoes. And those are coming on right now. It's pretty darn exciting.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I ate my first Sungold last week.
We've started eating the chilies.
Oh, yeah.
The Ortega-type chilies.
Yeah. How do you... Oh, so green chilies.
Green chilies, mm-hmm. Yeah.
How do you like to eat those? Just with a little salt and a...
Frying up with vegetables and eggs. Mm-hmm.
Cheese.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. Salt and tequila for me.
Yeah, right? I mean, honest to God. And the jalapenos are starting to come.
Nice.
Oh, man.
I know. It's really kind of getting exciting right now.
Yeah, and the cucumbers are all flowered like crazy, and they're starting to run, so they're coming, and the peas are coming. Everything's coming in.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, I got melons on there and cucumbers. Another week I'll be eating cucumbers.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Yeah. So.
Yep.
I think I'm about a week and a half out.
Mm-hmm.
Are you? Yeah, we're just right in that window, that two-week off thing, but either on either end of it, kind of.
Yep.
And you're still planting. Lance, you've got all kinds of stuff that you're putting in the ground now, still for fall harvest.
Yeah, I planted the peas and kohlrabi, lettuce, cilantro, green onions. Mazuma is a type of mustard, Japanese. Mm. It's mild. Mm-hmm. It's not a hot mustard.
A mustard plant.
Beets, black Spanish radish, daikons, and spinach and finocchio.
I love finocchio.
Is a bulb fennel. It usually likes cool weather, but it's going to be... maturing in cool weather.
Okay.
So that's what I'm shooting for.
Right.
And the peas are an inch high or more. The radishes came up in 4 days. The beets came up in 5 days. The lettuce and cilantro and stuff takes about a week. Yeah, it's pretty amazing.
That's pretty darn exciting.
And I'll do one more planting the first week of August of spinach and lettuce and that kind of stuff.
And you're harvesting all of that this fall.
Late
fall. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And you're planting shelling peas.
Yep, shelling peas. And I haven't planted them in a long time, and they're the bush shelling peas.
Okay.
And I used to, in my gardens in Carbondale, I would take those little, you know, the foot-high little green fencing.
Uh-huh.
Doesn't work for anything, really, but you make it in a zigzag, right? And you just plant the peas. It really dense. Rows going down the zigzag.
You could double your planting.
Yeah, and you could triple it. It's amazing.
Oh, wow. I thought that's a beautiful bush.
Yeah, so it just comes in super thick, and the little bit of trellis, those little fences hold it up, and you can get a boatload of peas out of a really small spot. Yeah.
Yeah, they like to be crowded.
Yeah, they like to hold hands.
Uh-huh.
Same with snap peas and sweet peas as compared to shelling peas. They all like that close quarter action?
Yeah, I think they do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, I've always planted them really close. And that's my peas this year. The other ones don't. What the heck? You know, they're not doing anything.
Yeah.
So I said, well, the hell with you. And I planted some more.
There you go. What kind of peas do you have going in your garden? 527-4868 or 1-866-KVNF now. And thinning things. Everybody's thinning.
Thinning. Mm-hmm. Thinning.
Yeah, that's so cool, right? It's like you're really sure now that it's going to grow.
Yeah.
Because
right.
I put everything in so late. You know, Lance, his is up running. He's eating out of it. And I'm like, oh, yeah, maybe I'll plant something today. I don't know. Okay.
Are you past the whacking and hacking and into thinning now?
Yeah, pretty
okay,
much.
Okay, good.
But I'm
good.
Still whacking and hacking, too. I can't help it, you know.
I mm-hmm. think it's just in your nature.
I think it is, too. Yeah.
Yeah, no, I'm thinning kohlrabi.
Okay.
It's been thinned. Mm. And just to an inch or two. They have a tendency to fall over. So I keep them a little thick until they get bigger.
Uh-huh.
They do.
Yeah.
What, you know, and the broccoli can do that too.
Yeah, the broccoli. So I keep them a little thick. And once they get up to about 2 or 3 inches, then I'll have the right spacing.
Yeah.
And I have the curly kale. And that's at about 2.5, 3 inches. But I have them thin to 2 to 3 inches. And I'll thin that probably to 6 or more.
Oh, wow.
And
okay.
they'll still get 18 inches. By the fall. And
yeah.
I don't want to eat it till after frost anyways.
Right. I think that I love those hardy plants. Kale being one of the mm-hmm. best. I think it's one of God's gifts to the earth. Really,
well,
what an incredible plant. So good for you and so hardy.
And so easy.
So easy.
Oh, mm-hmm. and my wasps are everywhere. Oh, and I have the coolest wasp nest ever. Okay, I've never seen one like this. It looks like an igloo.
Really? Where is it located?
No. It's on the dirt. It's in the ground. And I want them to move. I don't want to kill them. I just want them to move mm-hmm. because they're in where the currents are, and I have to get in there and work to clean it.
Yeah.
And I also want to get at the currents, and they are very fussy. This group is really fussy.
Are they?
Yeah. They're yellow jackets. They don't have like the classic wasp uh-huh. body. And those guys are fabulous. I mean, I talk to them. They come over, say hi. It's no big deal. They never bother me. But these guys, I got over near their nest and started looking at it, and they were like, you can leave now. Thank you. Get out of Dodge. They have a blotch on their face, and they're like a yellow jacket.
Wow.
So if anybody knows what those are and has a good idea, I'm going
to
wait.
On how to move that.
Well, I'm just going to wait until night.
Yeah, we need a cool night.
Mm-hmm. Just take a shovel and gently set it over where you want it.
Well, right. I will at night.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Wasp patrol. I see you have mosquito fleet hat on, so I think you're up to the task.
I do have my... Yeah, I do, don't I?
It looks good.
Yeah.
Hey, the potato lady from Redlands Mesa is on the line. Hello, potato lady.
Well, howdy, guys.
Hi.
Howdy.
Howdy. Hey, now I thought this was a straightforward thing about the way I've been raising potatoes forever, but can you guys give me the definitive answer on when to stop watering the potatoes?
Well, I generally stop watering in September.
Oh, really? That late?
That late.
Ah.
You know, if they're still growing, if they're not healthy and they're dying, stop watering. I have my early potatoes. This one variety called Colorado Rose, for some reason, it didn't grow. The bugs really liked it.
Oh, man.
And I'm not watering it. This is why. They'll just rot in the ground. And I'm going to harvest those.
Oh, uh-huh.
Yeah.
So just cut
it off.
And
you have nice little mm-hmm. potatoes or whatever.
Yeah, well, they're about baseball size, the
nice.
Big ones, which mm-hmm. is good for early potatoes.
Right, yeah. right.
So do I sort of slack off on the watering once they've all bloomed out, but just keep them
Are
going?
Are the plants dying?
No.
No.
I'd keep them going.
Water once every 2 weeks.
Okay.
And
you usually stop in September for fall time tomatoes.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
And I've noticed when I've stopped in watering in September, the ground's still pretty moist even after all that time because of all the mulch. So I might consider doing it earlier, maybe the end of August. You know,
okay.
stop watering. That's just my personal experience.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it'll depend on your exposure and all of that as well. And if do you use a lot of mulch?
Actually, I've been trying this year just to use extra dirt.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
And that's an experiment. We'll see mm-hmm. how that goes. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, uh-huh. that's what I want to do next year. It's
uh-huh.
just go straight dirt
yeah.
to heal them up because the mulch harbors a lot of slugs and
yeah.
sow bugs
mm-hmm.
and earwigs.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. yeah.
And that's what's eating my stuff.
Right.
Yeah.
yeah. Well, thank you for your wisdom, you guys. Okay. You just keep on keeping on.
Well, all right. Good luck with your potatoes.
Good luck.
Potatoes.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye-bye. All right, and oh, good, Max from Montrose. We've been waiting to hear from Max, and he's got something for you on bees, Lulu. Hi, Max.
Oh, awesome. Max, are you there?
Oh, we lost Max. He's probably
call
out
back.
In his garden. He'll call back. But yeah, we were talking about wasps.
Yeah,
right,
the waspy thing.
Potatoes.
And yeah,
he's the guy that will know.
Yeah, mm-hmm. and you know the other thing too is the watering that. It's really difficult to tell how much to water right now.
It's super difficult. Yeah. So the old finger in the soil thing works.
Stick your screwdriver, mm-hmm. your weeder, whatever, you know, just go in and see what you've got because it's hard at this time of year.
Yeah, it's
real
tricky.
And then I was going to say, too, in the fall, it gets the dirt gets soft again. You know, it goes back into that. It gets out of that baked in the sun thing and goes back to being softer.
Right. Mm-hmm. Right.
So that can make your watering different also.
Exactly. A lot of variables coming
there
up.
There are a lot of variables. You
pay attention.
Have to stay
weird
on
year.
It. Pay attention. Yeah.
Pay attention. Max is back on the line. Hello, Max.
Hi.
Hi.
How are you?
I am. Anyway, one thing about those wasps that you're talking about, they're kind of like building a kiva. Is that correct?
Like a kiva? Oh.
Yeah. No,
an igloo.
So they don't get the water inside because they're doing their nests and stuff. If you flood that with water, if you can.
Oh, I definitely. It's not a kiva. It's a igloo.
Well, okay.
I mean, it's like
it's Eskimo wasps.
No, it's like prairie dogs. You can get rid of prairie dogs with water. You don't have to do anything. You don't have to kill anybody. You just kind of like, uh-oh, we're wet.
Yeah.
We didn't want to be wet. Now we have to move.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
Okay, I thought of that. Yeah,
so that's try it.
Yeah, I'll try it because they have this igloo. I thought of that today too.
There's something those wasps do that is really beneficial. Okay, and I know they are because they help keep the flies and stuff off our apples and a lot of other fruit things. You know, the wasps. It's only when they get in your way when you're picking up your cart that you haven't used for like 3 months.
Yeah,
right. Stuff like that. Well, what they do is they feed on the cabbage moths and the cabbage moth eggs.
Uh-huh.
So if you want worm-free cabbage and any of the broccoli family stuff, you know, then you want those wasps.
You ever
around.
Made sauerkraut?
No.
Oh, you ought to try it because you need to forget all about those little wormy things.
Right? They just go right in the crowd, don't they?
Yeah, you don't see them. You don't see them. It's just like when we do our apples and stuff. I just tell people when they come and get some of our apple juice and stuff that we have from our apples when it's good and when it's bad. You know, we never know. If you don't like what you see in the bottom of that jar, don't drink it. I like to turn it up because that's a hell of a lot of protein. There's no we don't worry about whatever we eat here because there is no spraying going here. And
hey Max, I've got a question for you. Somebody just asked me if I knew anybody that had a grasshopper traps because he wanted to start making grasshopper cakes.
Hey, you got a grasshopper?
He wants to make grasshoppers into food. He wants to grind them up, but he has to have a way to trap them. So have you seen a grasshopper trap?
No, but I could tell you really, if you really wanted to let the kochia get really big.
The kochia, okay, yeah.
Yeah.
That's a weed.
Yeah, that's a weed.
Uh-huh.
It's a weed.
Right.
Some of those grasshoppers that you can just walk out and, you know, put it in your pocket and, you know, take it and then about... You know, when you get off of work, you can go over and get to the stream and throw that thing in there. Done. Supper is on the table.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's my best grasshopper trap that I can think of.
Okay.
All right.
I told him to get a butterfly net.
There you go. That would be fun.
You know, it's been so wet, and that's so cool because they're out there, but they're not in mass like they have when we get really dry.
Uh-huh.
So how about this for a question for y'all? Is what's happening in the Northwest a geological change, or is it just a storm that we may expect to be here, say, like in 5 or 6 years when something else changes? That's some pretty hot, crazy stuff going on over there.
Are we talking about fire, or are we talking about some grasshopper thing that's going on?
Yes. Well, I'm curious.
That's a whole nother discussion. So.
Yeah, that's a whole nother topic, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, no, not really, because things have gone crazy this year. Everything is producing, and it's going off so sooner than it had. But we had summer in February, you know, and now it's getting doing this, then the Northwest dries up, and we're like, oh, shit. If that hits us.
Yeah, I know. That fire discussion is definitely...
I'm just talking about the change in the...
He's talking about climate change.
Yeah. Well, we want to stick to gardening tips, I think, right now.
This is our
perceived expertise.
Yeah.
Yeah, but gosh, you should have a lot of good stuff, Lance. I mean, really quick.
Actually, I'm not that concerned.
You know, actually, Max, you need to go to the website, kvnf.org, and we've got the IC Change project going on there.
Yeah,
and there's all kinds
of
stuff. And we've got a reporter that's dedicated to that now, and lots of great reports coming on that stuff. So I think we're right on that, and that's the forum.
Put water on the wasp.
Okay.
All right, thanks.
We'll let you know how it goes.
Yeah, thanks, okay. Max.
Well,
good to hear from you.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Awesome.
You know, he's not far off with that grasshopper talk, because I know that the new flower that you, that's just the rage and sustainable, is brown cricket flower. Mm-hmm. Making flour out of crickets.
Oh, crickets.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm not eating crickets. I really like
I'm not eating
crickets.
Brown cake. I do, too. I love crickets.
Yeah, me too. Mm-hmm. And they're just starting to make noise now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Hey, was it you, Lulu, that was talking about seeing fireflies maybe down by the river?
Somebody else was.
No,
I mentioned it, a
friend of mine.
Uh-huh.
Just down river from Paonia mentioned they were seeing fireflies in the trees and the cottonwoods and stuff.
Wow. Yeah, I have seen them.
And is that a phenomenon? Because I don't think I've ever seen them in western Colorado. Is that with the wet
I've only
weather,
seen them or? At Disneyland.
I saw
That's
them in
Orange
Carbondale.
That's County, California.
Yeah, right. That's Disneyland, all right. I saw them in Carbondale.
Thanks for that.
I've seen them. I've
really?
Seen them in Colorado, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. They're, you How know, fun. Not a lot of them, but I have seen mm-hmm. them. Mm-hmm. So, you know, they need a real moist, loamy soil to do their thing. That's why they're all over the place. And I think it needs to be a little warmer, too.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we used to have them in Connecticut. My God, there were thousands.
Yeah, back east they're
yeah, it was really
having
cool.
a party. Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Hey, we were talking about leafhoppers, and you were using some geranium tea or something.
They're bad.
You thought you were getting away scot-free, didn't
yeah,
you?
Yeah, well, you know, they're not right. Yeah, they're not too bad. They're not god-awful. And I did make the geranium and petunia tea, and it works, but only for, you know, a little bit of, you know, you got to do it like every day.
Right.
Oh, okay.
You
know,
on it.
And,
mm-hmm.
and it repels them off of whatever you want to repel them from, but then, you know, they're back, you know, and then, you know, so I want to head them off at the pass. I got to figure out where they breed and how I can stop them.
Well, I did mention the parasitic nematodes.
Yeah.
Attack them in the ground.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Lance says parasitic nematodes. And somebody else said BT. But I really would like to not use BT, because I really think it's just overused.
Mm-hmm. So what do you do? What do you mean when you say parasitic nematode?
Well, it's a whole, all those beneficial insects. Mm-hmm. Well, there's also the ones called parasitic nematodes. We think of nematodes as bad, but there's actually good ones. And they attack bugs in the larval stage in the ground.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where you can knock out a lot of those guys that are wintering over
in the ground.
And flea beetles is quite susceptible to this. Right now, every day, I have to go and put all my brassica, the kale, the seedling kale and kohlrabi, I have to have put wood ashes on every time I've watered, because wood ashes repels them. But it doesn't kill them.
So
as soon as that stuff gets blown off or washed off, I have to redo it.
Yeah.
You know.
Here they come.
See, I don't have a lot of trouble with flea beetles.
Yeah, it's only this time of year when I'm trying to plant and it's the heat of summer. The spring I don't have it, and the late fall I don't.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
kind of noticed that pattern.
Yeah, yeah, but yeah. They're ready for them. The Mazuma and the kohlrabi, the kale grows through it pretty fast.
But yeah, they do get out of reach.
And then those radishes that have just come up, and then next week the flea beetles will find them.
Oh, yeah. Oh, right. Yeah. Be on
oh,
the lookout.
My God. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, they love radishes.
Yeah.
But they don't seem to really bother it too much. They just make it look awful.
Yeah, look awful. So if you keep them watered, mm-hmm. fertilized, and just use the ashes as a repellent, mm-hmm. you can
so
get them up.
Wood ashes from a fire?
Yeah.
From
yeah.
my stove.
Campfire
from your
stove.
Stove.
Mm-hmm.
Wood burner.
Okay, awesome.
Yeah. And mm-hmm. it doesn't really matter what kind. Mm-hmm. Some things do better with hardwood ashes. Some are softwood ashes, but it's just wood ashes.
All right.
And I do screen them, you know, so I don't have chunks of charcoal or
it's pretty fine.
Nails. Yeah, yeah, I actually put it to a quarter inch screen. Yeah.
Just sift it on up.
Mm-hmm.
Lance, I wanted to ask you because Georgia has called previously and asked questions about asparagus, and you were talking about doing something to the plant now that can produce more asparagus?
More asparagus. What you do is those asparagus plants that you are shoots or stalks or whatever you want to go that are now real tall and just about ready to bloom.
Mm-hmm. Into
and
seed.
Yeah. If you want asparagus this fall, cut them to the ground.
All the way down?
All the way to the ground. And they will reproduce. They'll because they want to go to seed.
Right. So if you were a commercial grower, would you do that as well, do you think? I mean, I wonder why, mostly when we get asparagus in the fall, it's because it's coming from South America.
Yeah, most of the asparagus in the United States, I think it's like 60-70% is imported in the spring. And so you can do this. I don't know about a commercial grower because it might bring on more bugs.
Yeah, right.
But I'm just talking backyard gardener. You can cut it all down, fertilize it extra with whatever type of compost or manure or whatever, and water it really good. And you'll have asparagus, new asparagus in probably 2 to 3 weeks.
All right.
Wow.
Nice to know.
Awesome.
Hey, Pat in Monticello, Utah is on the line. Hi, Pat. How do you pronounce that?
Monticello.
Okay.
How are you?
Yeah, I have an artichoke, a globe artichoke.
Uh-huh.
That it came back after the winter. Last year, at the end of winter, I noticed it had a really severe infestation of aphids,
mm-hmm.
and I treated it organically with, I make this insecticide with onion peels and garlic peels and, and a little like a Dr. Bronner's.
Yeah, that'll work.
Soap, you know, with water. And this year it came back, no aphids. I had ladybugs all over it early in the year, and now no aphids, but each fruit that comes up, each thistle head is has this black, like, deterioration around the edges of the leaves, or, you know, you call them leaves on the thistle head.
Uh-huh.
And it looked like something was eating, but there are no insects on this plant that I can find. And my daughter was here. She clipped one of the infected ones off, and it looks like there's blackness coming up through the stem into the thistle head, or, you know, the future fruit. And she thinks it's a fungus. Have you ever had any experience like this? And is there an organic way to treat this fungus?
Wow.
Any idea?
Wow.
Yeah. No, I don't have an experience.
I don't either. I've
even
never
being
grown
from
them.
Southern California.
Didn't grow artichokes?
No, mm-hmm. I didn't.
You guys talk. I'll look and see if
I think
can
that
find
artichokes are heavy nitrogen feeders, and I don't know how much you fertilized it. And the other thing that they need is because they're Mediterranean, one of the ways they got water. Or get water is through the fog.
Okay.
Well, we don't have fog here, so
right.
you need to put pans of water underneath it, and have that evaporate up into the plant. So these are just some other growing.
Well, we've had so much rain, and it's just been going crazy with the rain.
Yeah. So you're lucky.
And so.
And maybe that's it.
And I knew they were very thirsty plants.
But maybe.
And I just fertilized it like 2 days ago, I think.
Yeah. Maybe all the rain because where they're growing. In California, it's just fog.
Really?
The rain is mainly in the winter time, and during the summer, it's just fog coming in at night, in the evening, and then going back out, and that's all that dew is. And they're, we've talked about the pores opening, the somata pores. That's how they get their drink of water.
Wow.
You know, so.
Okay. So I don't need to root water it so much as maybe mist it.
Well, you still need to water it, but I'm just saying they need the humidity.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I see. Okay.
Yeah. So you might just take a hose once in the evening, and you can even just tam water, just the leaves, just keep the leaves cool. And just in the evening, during the day, let them get nice and hot.
Right.
Okay.
Okay, I got it.
You found something?
Yeah, I've got some stuff. Okay, so it says if you do water, and this is for globe artichokes too, you must not let the water stand around the crowns, which are subject to fungus disease. Okay, so artichoke, plume moth, aphids, and botrytis? Botrytis?
I've seen the disease. Word, but I don't
know. Yeah, it's B-O-T-R-Y-T-I-S disease, are most serious enemies. Plume moths lay eggs in the buds. Larvae tunnel through the foliage and the base of the buds. If it permitted to hatch, the entire planting may become infected. Eggs can be destroyed by hand, blah, blah, blah. Aphids, the usual. And the B-O-T-R-Y-T-I-S sometimes results after warm summer rain. Serious affected plants should be cut.
That's what we've been having.
Yeah, should be cut and removed. So I get that's probably what it is. And
okay.
Yeah, it sounds like, you know, it's the fungus. It's usually if you just can get air and light.
Right. Mm-hmm. Well, this looks like it's the stem rather than, the exterior parts of the leaves and stem. So it's like, you know, when you cut it, you look down into the cut and there are these black lines coming up.
I don't know if that makes sense. It makes total sense.
Yep.
Right.
Yeah. So keep the water off the crowns and,
yeah, no
another
stand.
Tricky
and is there
watering
any other treatment
issue
for this critter?
Nah, it doesn't say.
Okay,
it doesn't
kind of
say.
Sounds
it,
like you need to cut the
it
infected.
It says just get rid of them entire. You know, so if the eggs hatch from this moth, then you need to get rid of stuff because you can lose your whole planting. But you know, hey, did you know you can freeze them whole?
Whoa, I did not know that.
That's what it says here. Yeah, you can freeze them whole. Anyway, there you have it. So that's all I can tell you right now. We could tell you, but
yeah.
Okay. All right. Well, I sure appreciate your help. Thanks for the call, Pat.
Good luck with that.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Bye.
Bye.
All right. We just have a couple more minutes, and I wanted to talk about compost tea, top dressing with compost. You're spraying with kelp. Actually,
yeah, I spray kelp every Saturday morning. I'm being really anal, but that's what works.
Sure.
And you do it in the morning when the leaf cells are open. And I'm spraying just about anything that's under stress or blooming.
Yeah.
I'm doing raspberries. I'm doing the beans. I'm doing the potatoes, the tomatoes, the squash, the corn.
Just helping it along.
Yeah. And it's just vitamins.
Right.
Yeah. And then manure tea mixed with compost every 2 weeks.
Right. Okay. We've got one more caller on the line.
Go for it.
I'm not sure who it is, but howdy, caller. We've got maybe a couple minutes.
Yeah, no problem. The last thing I want to let you guys know is garlic oil.
Oh.
That's the one thing she's missing. The onion and the what else did she put in there? Onion and something else.
She had garlic peel in there and then the Dr. Bronner's.
She had garlic peel already.
Yeah, she had peel
perfect.
In there.
Yeah,
uh-huh.
Yeah, she was on it.
That's perfect. Thanks, guys.
Great. All right, thanks.
Thank you. That sounds like a great concoction. I like that for aphids.
Yeah, it works.
Nice.
It works on white flies and mealybugs, too.
Right on.
Nice.
Wow, great. Great to hear from all those people. We heard out from Montrose in Utah and Redlands Mesa.
I know,
hey.
Right?
Yeah, woo-hoo. People are out in their garden. It's fabulous. And Lance Lulu, thanks so much for being here tonight. You know, I think we're going to have Eric in next week. Aaron Heideman
is going to talk about cold frames again.
Yeah, because we're already thinking about, you know, as you pull the stuff out of the ground, you got to think about what you're doing next year.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we'll be back next Tuesday at 6:30, and it's Tara up with One Woman's Perspective next. So thanks for listening to As the Worm Turns on KVNF.
Bye,
have
everybody.
A good evening.
Bye.
Which you can make both slow and faster. I don't know who you took a shine to or who you're about to make a
sign to. I got a gal that I love so. Low, little low and low.